Weeks ago, I preached on the shout that shall be heard around the world. And of course, that shout is the shout of the rapture, when we're all called out of this place. Amen. Could happen to me. Last week, I preached on what's going to happen after we're gone. The day of the Lord is going to commence, the tribulation period. And this morning, I want to bring a third message. The Lord's kind of just been leading along in this way. What about those people that are going to be left behind after that shout? Obviously, not everybody's going up, but only those that are in Christ. Only Christians will be taken out of this planet, and most people are not Christians. Didn't know if you knew that or not. Most people are not born-again believers. They may be nominal Christians in name only. They may have their name on a church roll, but they don't have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they may have been baptized, but doesn't mean they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be left behind. So the next thing that's going to happen on planet Earth, as far as God's prophetic timetable, is this imminent rapture of the church, where every born-again believer will be taken off the planet. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But you can imagine what this world is going to be for the next 60 minutes after that event takes place. The world is going to be left in utter chaos as millions upon millions of people who were there one moment and now are gone. They have vanished. And all that's left is their clothes and their belongings. Their automobile maybe crashed into some building somewhere as they were driving down the road and raptured out of their car. And their car is left without a driver. Or maybe they were crossing the street and all of a sudden the rapture takes place and all that's left is a pile of clothes in the middle of the road where they're gone. It's going to be a worldwide panic as people are wondering, where did these people go? You see, Christians today, Jesus said, are the light of the world. But you take the light out, that's going to leave this world in spiritual darkness. The light's going to be gone. And Jesus said that the Christian is the salt of the earth. And as the salt of the earth, we have a preserving influence that preserves from corruption being utterly taken over. But when the salt is gone, that's just going to leave the door wide open for corruption just to take over. Now, while we read here in Matthew 24 about one shall be in the field, one will be taken and the other left, and two women shall be grinding at the mill and one will be taken and the other left. Well, the doctrinal application of Matthew 24 is Christ's second coming at the end of the tribulation period. That's not talking about the rapture. That's talking about the Lord coming back at the end of glory, at the end of the tribulation period. However, I think it also gives us a good description of what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place, when two people will be sleeping in a bed, as it says in the book of Luke. And maybe a husband and a wife, and one's going to be taken and the other left. Husband's gone, or the wife is gone in the rapture when that rapture takes place. And those that are going to be behind, they're going to be left behind to endure 7 years of God's unmitigated wrath being poured out on planet Earth. 7 years of terrible convulsions and turmoil and being just poured out on the inhabitants of the earth. If you have your Bible open to Matthew 24, if you skip back to verse 21, notice what Jesus said about this period of time. He said in verse 21, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time nor shall ever be." Now that's pretty bad. When you think of everything that's gone on before, and he says it's going to be worse than anything that's gone on before. That includes Noah's flood. And then it says in verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12, we read this, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." That is, those who will be dwelling on the earth during this great tribulation time. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of those of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The devil realizes his time is running out. His days are numbered. And when the devil... See, the devil doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place. Nobody knows when the rapture is going to take place. But the devil will know when it does take place. Amen. And when he does, he realizes that his days are numbered. He's only got about 7 years left before the Lord comes back to put him in the bottomless pit. And so the devil's going to come back having great wrath, knowing that his time is but a short time. I mean, there's not going to be any salt left to retard the influence of sin in this world. The light is going to be gone, leaving this world in utter darkness, spiritual darkness. And there will be a tremendous vacuum on this planet when these Christians are removed. And government is going to be in disarray. Certainly Christian senators, and I believe there are some, and some congressmen that are saved, they're going to be gone. And into this vacuum is going to arise this person the Bible calls the beast, or the Antichrist. And he's going to rise to power. We see that in Revelation chapter number 13. And he is going to rule over this planet in one world government. And he'll bring a temporary peace, but it'll be a false peace. It won't be a peace that'll last. But the world is going to be looking for answers. Where did all these people go? What happened? And the devil is going to come. The Antichrist is literally Satan in the flesh. He's Satan incarnate. And he is going to have the answers that people are going to look for. They're going to be a lie. It's going to be a false answer. But he's going to have some man that is going to bring peace into this world for a short time. And that's why we read last week, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. So what I want to do in this message is I want to give some instructions on how a person might survive those 7 years of tribulation if they miss the rapture and they find themselves left behind. Now, I'm giving these instructions now because I won't be around to give them after the rapture. Amen? So I'm giving to you now. I hope you're gone. I like that song by the ORLs, "Will You Be Among the Missing? Will they look and find you gone?" Like they looked for Enoch and couldn't find him after the Lord took him, who is a type of the rapture. I hope you're gone. But in case you're not, you need to file away those notes on the back of your bulletin, because you will need them. I am going to put this sermon on the internet so anybody that's left behind can find out some instructions on what they need to do to get through those 7 years of tribulation that's coming. So I'm preaching it now while I can. So let me give you 7 instructions to help you. I'm calling these survival strategies. Strategies for survival in the tribulation period. And the first thing you need to do is, number one, put your regrets behind you. Because it's too late for regrets. The rapture has come, and the rapture has gone, and you're left behind. You didn't care about the rapture before it took place. Amen? So, you just need to put those regrets behind you, because you can't do anything about that now. The Lord's come and taken His people out, and you're left behind. Now your only hope is survival until the end. If you look here in Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 13. Matthew 24, 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, a lot of people use that verse for today, but that verse does not apply for today. You're not saved by enduring to the end today. You're saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Amen? But in the tribulation period, once the church has been taken out, your only chance is to endure till the end of the tribulation period, the end of 7 years. That's your only hope of salvation. And if you happen to manage to survive and follow these instructions that I'm giving you, you may be permitted to enter Christ's kingdom after He returns at the end of the 7 years to set up His kingdom. Because there will be people that will go through the tribulation period, and Christ is going to come back and set up His kingdom, and they're going to be allowed to go from the tribulation period and enter into the kingdom. But not just everybody's going to enter into the kingdom. They're going to have to follow these instructions that I'm giving you right here. So first of all, put your regrets behind you. Too late to regret now. Too late to weep tears now. Too late to worry about that now. What you got to determine now is, how am I going to get through this thing? How am I going to make it through the next 7 years? Number two, don't listen or read anything that the media says. Well, that's good advice for right now. Don't read or listen to anything the media says. You know why? Because the news media and the government, they're going to be to explain the phenomena of all these people that are missing. They're not going to have answers. And so what Satan is going to do at this time is, he is going to come up with a lie. A lie to explain all these missing people. And the deception is going to be very, very great. And the deception is going to be so great and so powerful, it's going to be irresistible. If you look again at our text here in chapter 24, look at verse 24. And there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. Now, they're around today. But they're even going to be more prevalent in the tribulation period. And of course, the Antichrist is going to come up. There shall be false Christs and false prophets. Now watch this. And shall show great signs and wonders, underline it, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This deception is going to be so powerful and so irresistible that people are going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, somebody's going to be left behind, and they've been brought up in church, but they never got saved. But they knew all about what the preacher said about the rapture, and how the Lord's going to be coming back. And they say, yeah, he's been saying that for years and years and years, and preachers before him have been preaching. It's just not going to happen. And the rapture takes place, they're left behind. And all of a sudden they see their mom and dad gone, or their pastor gone, and they're going to say, whoa, I know what happened. It must have been the rapture. But then he's going to turn on the news, or he's going to read in the paper about the government's explanation, inspired by Satan. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he's going to give some explanation about where these people went. I don't know what that explanation is going to be, but it's going to be so strong and so powerful that the person left behind can say, oh, well, that makes sense. It wasn't the rapture. After all, it was exactly what he says. That's what happened. And he's going to swallow the lie. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 14 says this about this coming false prophet with this lie. It says, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do. See, he's not going to just have an explanation. He's going to do miracles. Paul pull fire down from heaven and people say, whoa, that guy must be telling the truth. Look at what he's doing. Amen. Take your Bible for a minute. Keep your place here in Matthew 24, but turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Pick up the reading at verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 talks about after the Lord comes back, it says in verse 8, then shall that wicked, capital W, that's the Antichrist, the wicked one. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's at the end of the tribulation period. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Dear friend, well, if you are so unfortunate to be left behind, if you're unsaved and you get left behind after the rapture, the thing you do not want to do is listen to anything on television or radio news, or because it's going to be a lie. And that lie is going to be so powerful, you will not be able to resist it. The best thing you can do is insulate yourself, cut yourself off from any input that Satan would put in your life, and limit your reading, listen to me, and limit anything you read to a King James Bible. Because this Bible will tell you the truth. This is your only source of truth. You know what this Bible is going to be in the tribulation period for anybody left behind? That's going to be their survival guide. Their survival manual. This is what is going to help get you through. And so if you're left behind, you hold on to that Bible for dear life. It'll be your most valuable possession. By the way, it's your most valuable possession right now. More so in the tribulation period. And what you really need to be doing is studying the book of Daniel. And studying Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. And the entire book of Revelation. Because that's going to be your guide to tell you what's going to happen next, and what's going to happen after that, and what's going to happen after that, and it's going to tell you what you can expect and how to get through that. You need to memorize your Bible as much as possible. Not just now, but if you're left behind, you really need to memorize the Bible, because the government's going to try to confiscate every copy of the Scripture and replace it with the Antichrist Bible. So you just need to, you need to not listen to what the news media says and limit your reading to what you find in your King James Bible. Number three, third thing you need to do, refuse to take any mark on your body. Refuse to take any mark on your body. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, one of the first things the Antichrist is going to do after he comes into power and institutes. See, this is not immediate. There's going to be a transition. I mean, the world's going to be in chaos after the rapture and panic. They're looking for answers. The Antichrist is going to arise with the answers, maybe in a day or two after the rapture. I don't know how much period of time until the Antichrist is going to be actually revealed. But once he's revealed, then he's going to have the answers. People are going to flock to him and accept him. And then he's going to institute his one world government. It's not going to happen overnight. Maybe that transition will take maybe a few weeks before it takes place. But once he does, one part of that government is he's going to, look at what it says in verse number 13, 16, Revelation 13, 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Now you need to underline and circle that next word. In. Not on. In. Something is going to be put in their right hand and in their forehead. Some people say it's just going to be marked on their skin. No, it's going to be something underneath the skin. Maybe a computer chip. Amen. Receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. You say, why both places? Because some people might not have a right hand. I know, I've met people who don't have any hand. Or even a right arm. I met one guy who didn't have any arms. But I get you can't live without your head. That's why people are going to be beheaded in the tribulation period. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So that mark, whatever that mark might be, is going to be inserted in your right hand or in your forehead. Verse 17. What's the purpose of this thing, this mark? That no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So it involves taking this mark, and if you don't have it, you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and buy anything. Because what the Antichrist is going to do, he's going to institute a new economic economic system where there's no cash. It's going to be a cashless society. Your money's going to be useless. Now you'll be able to use your money for maybe the first few days, or maybe few weeks, or maybe the month of the tribulation period until this goes into effect. But once it goes into effect, your money is useless. Absolutely useless. Because all transactions are going to be done through that mark on the hand or the forehead. It's like swiping a credit card. Only instead of swiping a piece of plastic, you're going to swipe your hand over a scanner. Or if you don't have a hand, they're going to have a hand scanner to put it over your head. And if you don't have that mark, you're going to be turned away from the grocery store. No groceries for you. No purchases whatsoever. And you won't be able to sell anything because you won't have the capacity to tap into the worldwide computer network that has all these files about how much money people actually have. You'll not be able to receive any medical services because you won't be able to buy any medical services. And by the way, I just found this out. There's a website. I can't remember the name of the website right now. But what this guy has done is he's taken the Obama health bill. He's got a PDF of that, the health bill that Obama passed, Obamacare. Did you realize that in that, I saw it with my own eyes on this PDF, that within that health bill, there is a provision for every person to have a computer chip. And without that chip, you cannot get medical services. You hear me? It's already right there. Now, if for no other reason to vote against Obama, You need to vote for somebody that's going to repeal that health bill. Amen, amen, amen. That's already there. We're not talking about something out. Now, I'm not saying that is the mark of the beast. I'm saying it. I'm saying it's just paving the way to make people more to accept it when it does come. Now this chip or this mark, whatever it is that's placed in your hand or in your forehead, it's going to be a sign of. It's going to be your pledge of allegiance to the Antichrist by receiving this. See, back in the early church age, the first, second century, third century, right in there, the Caesars of Rome were considered God to all the Roman citizens. They weren't God, but they liked to think they were God. And they had an image of Caesar in various places in the empire. And everybody was to give a token worship to this image. Usually they had an altar there at the image of Caesar, and they were to put some incense and burn some incense on this altar to show that Caesar was their God. And as they burnt this incense, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs about this. Read church history. As they would come to these altars and burn their incense, they would have to say, "Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord." Well, a Christian would come to this thing and he would not burn any incense and he would not say Caesar is Lord. The Roman government would take him and say, "You say that Caesar is Lord." And he said, "No, I want him. Jesus is Lord." And if they refused to give that token act of worship to Caesar, they would be executed. They would pay for it with their life. Well, guess what? That's coming back. Well, it's not going to be in the form of Caesar. It's going to be the Antichrist. And he is going to have his image set up. And the way that you don't burn incense, what you do is you take the mark of at his image and say, "He is Lord. He is God." And by taking that mark is your admission. And if you won't take it, anybody that doesn't take that mark, if you're caught without that mark, "Well, I'm not going to take the mark." Well, that's good. I'm glad you're not going to take it. You're going to be hunted down. And if you're caught without that mark and you refuse to take that mark, you will be beheaded. Listen to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Well, you have your Bible open to Revelation 13. Just turn over a couple of pages. Read it for yourself. Revelation 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." Watch it. "And for the word of God. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his" what? See, just like Caesar would have those images placed around the Roman Empire, and people would come to those images and burn their incense at those images as a token of worship saying Caesar is Lord, the Antichrist is going to have his image placed all over the place. And it says that they worship not the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They're going to be allowed to get into the kingdom and reign with Jesus. But they cannot take the mark. These people paid with their life. They paid with their heads. Because they would not take that mark. You say, "Well, preacher, that's simple. I'll just take the mark." Well, I don't think you want to do that. Because once a person takes that mark, once they take that mark, their doom is sealed. And they can never be redeemed. That's the unpardonable sin in the tribulation period. Taking that mark. Go to Revelation chapter 14, back Revelation 14. Look at verse 9. Revelation 14, 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Is that clear? You take that mark, you're going to hell forever. And the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever and ever. I'm telling you, don't take any mark. Even if it causes dying a martyr's death. It'd be better to die a martyr. Matter of fact, it would be better to die a martyr's death, because if you die a martyr's death, you wouldn't have to go through the rest of the tribulation period. You escape a lot of that junk that's going to be going on. Amen. Number four, these are strategies to help you get through the tribulation. You say, preacher, are you trying to scare me? Listen, if I can scare you into getting saved, I'll do it. I don't make no apology for that. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Number four, go into hiding. If you're left behind, you need to look for a hiding place. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. A prudent man, a wise man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He sees what's coming. He sees the danger coming. He sees what's coming down the pipe, because he knows the book of Revelation and Matthew 24 and 25. And he says, hey, I know what's coming. I need to get out of this place. He hideth himself. What you need to do, if you find yourself left behind, first thing you ought to do is move out of any metropolitan area and flee as far as you can from civilization. Because the Antichrist's control will come last to least populated areas. That's why Jesus said in 21 and 21, he said, let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, flee to the wilderness. Get out, hide yourself, find some cave, hide yourself someplace away from civilization. See, if you're left behind, and I hope you're not, but if you're left behind, and if you're listening to some CD of this message, or listening on the internet, and the Antichrist hasn't taken our website down yet, if you're listening to me, here's what you need to do. As soon as you realize that you've been left behind, you need to liquidate everything you have as soon as possible. Sell everything that is not essential to survival. Because you need to sell it while you can, because there's going to come a time when if you don't, you cannot buy or sell. So sometime before that mark is put into place, and it won't be too long after the rapture, while you still can use money, you need to liquidate everything you can, take that money you get from everything you sell, not vital to survival, and then take that money and stock up on food and water and medical supplies. Because once that mark goes into effect, your money's going to be useless. Like it says in James chapter 5, your riches are corrupted and your gold and your silver are cankered. You won't be able to use it once the mark is put into place. Buy water, buy as much bottled water as you can. Well, preacher, I don't have to worry about water. I mean, water be plentiful. I don't have to buy water. I can just go to a stream or something. No, you don't. No, you don't understand. Revelation chapter 8 says that all the water is going to be turned to blood and it's going to be poisoned. There won't be any water that you can just go out and get. Read Revelation. Got your Bible open? Go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. See that? Third part. But that's not the worst of it. Go to chapter 16 and verse 3. The other two-thirds get it later. Revelation 16, verse 3, "And the second angel poured his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured his vial upon the rivers, the streams and the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood." Listen, dear friend, if you don't have a water supply, you're not going to have any water. And you won't live too long without water. You need to stock up. You need to learn how to survive. You got 7 years you're going to have to survive in the wilderness, hiding out from the Antichrist, hiding out from the news media. You know, a few years ago we had a family in our church, and they were into the survival stuff. And they were stockpiling food. They had their bunker, and it was in eastern Washington, and they were stocking up and stockpiling all this stuff. I said, "What are you doing?" "Well, we're just preparing for the tribulation period." "Are you saved?" "Yeah." "Well, you're going to be gone. You don't need to stockpile. You're going to be gone. The people that need to stockpile are those that are going to be left behind." So you need to get clothing for all seasons and flashlights and batteries, and if you can get your hands on a generator, and just learn how to survive. Go into hiding. Number five. Start keeping the commandments and have faith in Jesus. Keep the commandments and have faith in Jesus. Well, preacher, you don't have to keep the commandments today to be saved. All you have to do is have faith in Jesus. Yeah, that's true, today. But after the rapture, this day of grace is going to be over. And the dispensation of law is going to be back into effect. Yes, today, you're not saved by works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen? But in the tribulation period, It's going to take more than just faith. You're going to have to back up your faith with keeping the commandments. And if you don't keep the commandments, you're lost. Look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Okay, you want to be a saint in the tribulation period? Here it is. It's they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people today that say the same thing. You're saved by keeping the law and having faith in Jesus. Do you realize that most of the heresies out there in the world today are truths, but they're just misplaced? The Jehovah's Witnesses are preaching a lot of truth. The problem is the truth that they're preaching is for the tribulation period, not for today. But in the tribulation period, you're going to have to keep the commandments and have faith in Jesus. Because if you don't, look what happens. Go to chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 13. These people that when they're finally judged by God at the great white throne judgment, they're not judged according to just having faith in Jesus. 20 verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven were fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books," all books, "were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things. They were judged out of those things that were written in the books," plural, "according to" what? Their faith? Their works. Go to chapter 22, Revelation 22, look at verse 14. "Blessed are they that do His" what? Why? "That they may have right to the tree of life." See, in the tribulation period, all the glorified bodies have already been passed out to those that went up in the rapture. There will be no more glorified bodies. Therefore, in order for a person to sustain their life, they're going to have access to the tree of life in the midst of the city of God. So how does a person get access to the tree of life so they can sustain their life, their physical life? They're going to have to keep the commandments. If they don't keep the commandments, that tree of life is going to be barred from them. You hear me? It's right there. Now, do you have to keep the commandments to have the tree, to have access to the tree of life? You know why? Because you already got eternal life by believing on Jesus. You've got it that hath the Son, hath life. But in the tribulation period, it's not that way. So number five, you better keep the commandments and have faith in Jesus. Number six, I'm hurrying. You need to support and help every Jew you possibly can. You need to support and help every Jew you can. Go to Matthew 25. See, the Jews are God's chosen people, are they not? So you know what one of the purposes for the tribulation period is? Called the time of Jacob's trouble. Who's Jacob? The Jew, Israel. In other words, the tribulation period is meant to try to bring Israel back to God to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They rejected their Messiah the first time He came, so God's going to put them through this tribulation period to wake them up. He's going to seal 144,000 witnesses out of the 12 tribes of Israel. You know what their purpose is, that 144,000? To go out and evangelize the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. God's trying to bring those Jews back to evangelize them. And so when these Jews, the Antichrist is going to seek to kill all the Jews. The devil hates the Jews. The devil hates the Jews because they brought the Savior into the world. He hates the Jews because they gave us the scriptures that spell out His doom. He'll do everything He can to destroy the Jews. Revelation 13, read it. He's going to make war with them. So any chance that you have to support Israel and help the Jews out will greatly increase your chances of getting into the kingdom. Look what it says here in Matthew 25 and verse 31. Watch it now. This is after the tribulation when the Lord comes back in glory to set up His kingdom. It says in verse 31, "And when the Son of Man shall come in His glory." Now that's not the rapture. He's not coming in His in glory in His rapture. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." When's He going to sit on the throne of His glory? After the tribulation when He comes back. Now what's He going to do? It says, "And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd doth divide his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the King," King Jesus, "then shall the King say unto them," He's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, "then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye, blessed of My Father, inherit" what? Heaven? "The kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came unto me." And then shall the righteous say unto them, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and or thirsty, and gave you drink? And when saw we thee stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the King shall answer and say to them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, the Jews, you've done it unto Me." You see that? How's somebody going to get into the kingdom? First of all, they cannot have the mark on them. Right? And secondly, they have had to treat the Jews right. You see, in the tribulation period, remember, with that, if you don't have that mark, you can't buy or sell. That's going to put people in poverty. Amen? Especially the Jews. And so what's happening here? Look at verse 35. It says, I was hungered. Why were they hungry? Because they couldn't buy or sell. I was thirsty. Why are they thirsty? Couldn't get any water. I was a stranger. You took me in. I didn't have any place to go. I'm out here in the wilderness. You're left behind, and you're stuck. You did all these instructions I've told you so far. You stopped right. You found some little cave out in the wilderness someplace. You see some wandering Jew out there, doesn't have clothes ragged, hungry, thirsty. You take him in, help him out. Naked, didn't have no. Why didn't have any clothes? Couldn't buy any. Sick. What is he sick for? Couldn't get any medical services. Didn't have that chip. I'm telling you what this is. What God's telling you here is salvation in the tribulation period is works. It's based on what you do for the Jews. What you do for Israel. If you're left behind, I hope you're not, you better help every Jew you possibly can. With aid, with food, with water, with clothes, anything you can do for them. Because if you don't, read on. Verse 40. Or verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen? As God promised, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. So you better support Israel. You better support Israel now. But after the rapture takes place, if you're left behind, you better support them even more then. Because your salvation and getting through the tribulation period and getting into that kingdom depends on it. Number 7. Don't give up hope. Because in the tribulation period, salvation is going to depend on a person being faithful unto death. Don't give up hope. Know this. That yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be persecution. It's going to be running and hiding and starving. But know this. It's not going to last forever. You got 7 years. You better get a calendar. And know that at the end of 7 years... You make it through that far. You get through those 7 years. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to put the Antichrist out of business. He's going to put the devil in the bottomless pit. And he's going to take the false prophet and the beast. And he's going to put him in the lake of fire. And he's going to set up his kingdom of peace for 1,000 years. And if you haven't taken the mark and you've treated the Jews right and you've kept his commandments and you've had faith in him and you've endured to the end, hallelujah, you might just get into the kingdom. Now you want to save yourself a lot of trouble? Get saved now. the best thing you can do, just avoid all of that. Get saved today before the rapture takes place, because today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Jesus is coming at any moment. Are you ready, or will you be left behind? Amen. Now, if you're left behind, I'm not saying you can't be saved. There's some question about whether a person who has heard the gospel can get saved during the tribulation period if they've rejected it. I'm not sure about that, but I know what my Bible says and these instructions I gave you right now. Amen. I know that's right. But it's not going to be easy. It's easy to get saved now. Amen. So easy, a child can do it. Amen. Just believe on Jesus, receive Him in your heart, and He'll save you. But it ain't going to be easy in the tribulation period. Amen. It's going to be enduring, enduring, enduring to the end. And the word enduring is the word. Let's bow our heads.